Hey everyone, it's Albert Parker here. I'm the host of the new Hollywood Hustle podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Welcome to the show where we stop gawking at red carpets and start following the money. We dive deep into the financial secrets that keep Hollywood thriving. Not gossip, not just celebrity dirt, real structures, real cash flows, the corporate chess moves that decide what gets greenlit and what gets buried. Who actually owns Hollywood? Who makes the real money? And who's just along for the ride? So what makes Hollywood Hustle stand out? We don't just report headlines, we unpack them. Now, how do you listen? Hollywood Hustle Podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. For ad-free episodes, be sure to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.
What turns on a killer is the suffering and death of another human being. And as his determination builds to take another life, he plans in obsessive detail what props he'll bring, what knots he'll tie. Let me ask you guys something. What turns you on?
Welcome to Canvas and Crime, your ultimate destination for true crime and horror merchandise. Meet Elizabeth, the creative force behind canvasandcrime.com. She combined her passion for painting with her fascination for true crime and horror, giving birth to this unique shop.
You're looking for an intelligent white male, 20 to 30 years old, socially functional.
Are you a fan of serial killer memorabilia? You're in luck. Canvas and Crime has an incredible selection, from iconic mugs featuring notorious figures like Ted Bundy and the Zodiac Killer, to killer shot glass sets that showcase your favorite serial killers.
All I know to do is change your locks, tighten up your security, and pray.
But that's not all. You can also find custom prints of your most loved serial killer, adding a personal touch to your collection. For the most entertaining serial killer merchandise, look no further than canvasandcrime.com. Support a small business and dive into the chilling fun. Shop today, and don't forget to follow Canvas and Crime on YouTube as well.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
I'm Bill Farmer. You're listening to the Pixie Dust Twins Podcast. Gorge!
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate.
I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins Podcast featuring Dom.
Hello.
Beautiful. And of course, we are produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Don't forget to check out our social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, YouTube Shorts, and TikTok.
Yes. And we're also...
I need to know where's pants.
We also have a website, LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com, where you can join a membership and not just get access to all of our stuff, but also all of the other podcasts and merchandise and all the different things. Please go check it out.
Yes.
Yes.
That was horrible. Oh, I'm so sorry.
It took me a minute to even figure out what you were
saying. I know. I'm like, what did he just say?
I was like, what about pants? And I was like, oh, no. Oh, such a dad joke.
That was very much a dad joke. Yes. Good job, Dan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. For our quick connection segment, there is a new special event show coming out. Actually, it's already out. It premiered February 4th. So if you haven't checked it out, you need to check it out. And it is The Muppet Show.
Wait, what happened?
There is a special event. I don't think it's like multiple episodes, but Kermit, Miss Piggy, and the Beloved Muppets in Ensemble are back with a brand new special event featuring special guest Sabrina Carpenter. Music, comedy, and chaos ensue when the Muppets take the stage at the original Muppet Theater. So there's literally, it's on Disney Plus now. If you're a Muppet lover and didn't know it, go check it out.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm super excited. Mm-hmm. There's things coming out next month or this month, but I don't, it's not even like real Disney things. It's like inside the CIA, secrets and spies. Do you really think that's going to be real? The CIA don't tell anything. It's all going to be like curated. There is a new documentary called We Call It Imagineering, and it's taking a look into Walt Disney Imagineering. That would be cool to watch.
I think that one is going to be good.
We should talk about Imagineering one month. I know we have a couple months. We don't know what we're doing.
We should.
We'll talk about that later. No planning podcast during podcasts. We do that way too much.
We do that a lot. Yeah.
A lot of things. So yeah, that's just the quick little thing I wanted to mention because I forgot to mention it last episode.
Okay.
Sweet.
Yes. Today, though, we are going to continue with our straight to VHS because there was not DVDs at this. Well, there was DVDs at this time.
Again, it was like not a luxury thing back then.
It just depended on what year it came out.
This was 97?
This was in the 90s.
Seven. It was late 90s.
Yeah, this would have been VHS.
Okay, yeah.
The Cinderella ones last week, I want to say the third one was 2000s. Probably on DVD.
Yeah.
So we would have been in the DVD era.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this one hails from my favorite Disney movie. This is Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas. And I was telling Dan ahead of time, I'm like, I rewatched this and I apparently didn't remember anything about this movie because it seemed brand spanking new to me.
That's so funny.
Apparently I like wiped it out of my memory. I have no idea. So, summary, set during Belle's stay at the Beast's castle. So this isn't an after the fact. This is like still literally during, which I'm okay with because the Beast as a person, like a real human, is just, it's not what I thought he looked like. But anyways,
I feel like a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, a lot of people just really like him as the Beast.
A lot of people,
they do.
It shaped a generation of a certain group of people for a certain group of.
I was just thinking about it right now.
Immediately in my head, I was like, "We know who likes the Beast." Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'm not yucking anybody's yum. That's a thing. It's fine. It's fine.
If that's what you're into, you go to your conventions and your meetups and you enjoy it. Okay.
Yeah. This was specifically after the wolf attack, but before the ballroom dance in the original movie. So it's in that time frame. So in the original movie, it seems like there's no time at all. It's like boom, boom, boom. But really, there was a lot of time. It's like, I want to say a couple weeks, maybe a month, something of that nature. But Belle wants to celebrate Christmas to lift everyone's spirits. The Beast forbids it due to a painful memory tied to his transformation. Literally, she came on Christmas Eve and he was
supposed to say like there
words I can't say.
Painful memory. It was like the plot of the story.
Like literally what exactly happened in the first one. But okay.
Yes. So they added a new character in that we don't see in the original movie. They kind of squeezed him in so he could be the villain. It's a forgotten enchanted object Forte, the pipe organ, actively manipulates the Beast, fearing that love and Belle will break the curse and render him powerless. Because right now he has all the power with giving Beast his moody music, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So this the story focuses on emotional isolation versus healing, fear of change, Belle's influence as a catalyst for growth. So this is a storyline. Not an anthology. Let's see here. Paige O'Hare still voices the Beast. Robbie Benson was oh my goodness gracious.
I was like, wait.
Paige O'Hare is Belle. Robbie Benson is the Beast.
Yes.
We got the lovely Tim Curry as Forte.
Yes.
Bernadette Peters is Angelique. Jerry Jerry. Jerry Orbach is Lumiere. And David Odensteers, I don't know, is Codsworth. I believe these are all the original people. The new one is because, yeah, everybody else is original. Jerry, I know, definitely was. Jerry. He was also on Law & Order, and I loved him on that. Every time I watched Law & Order, all I could hear was Lumiere. It was actually kind of entertaining sometimes for me.
But I can't take it really seriously. It's like you can't take him totally seriously. It was like that.
No, because he's Lumiere.
Well, his character was already like that at, in Law & Order.
He's a jokester,
dry humor person.
That's fun.
This is one of the rare Disney sequels that retain most of the original cast. So this is the people I said are the original cast of these guys. I think some of them, like Angela Lansbury, I don't believe came back as Mrs. Potts. I think
she's listed as the voice. Yeah. She's in the credits.
Why is Megan trying to FaceTime me? Hold on. I got to text Megan. I don't know why she's FaceTiming me.
Jeez, Megan, come on. Get with it.
Don't you know we're busy?
I don't know.
Lady.
Hey, sorry. I'm filming the podcast right now with Sammy and Dan. Is everything okay? Question mark. Okay, we'll just see what she says. Anywho, okay, it wasn't this one. I think it's Magical Worlds. One of them she doesn't come back for.
What's Magical Worlds?
It's the other Beauty and the Beast straight to video movie.
I surely didn't watch that. Nope, I definitely didn't watch that one.
It's okay. I don't think we had it on our list, and I found it, and I'm like, I'm just going to add it in because I watched it.
I only literally watched this one, so okay.
Okay.
Excited to hear about the other one. All right, cool.
You're good. So that it must be that one. Okay, so behind the scenes, originally developed with theatrical ambitions, it later shifted to direct-to-video. Music wasn't done by Alan McKen like it was in the original one. It was done by Rachel Portman. Forte was designed as a psychological antagonist, not a physical fighter, and he was. The way he was a villain was scary.
He was.
Like, that was.
It was.
I loved
it. Very realistic.
Absolutely.
I loved it.
I loved it so much. No, he was, I didn't realize how cool, I forgot how cool a villain he was. Cause I remember liking him back in the day, but yeah, I rewatching some of these scenes. I was like, oh my gosh. It was very, very cool.
Yes. Yeah. He was the best villain out of everything we've watched so far.
Yeah.
Yes. Agreed. Animation quality is above average for Disney sequels of the 90s, which is true. Like, it's looks
very good.
There's some moments where I'm like, okay, this is direct to video, but most of the time I'm like, this looks like the original.
It's well done.
Yeah.
Rating wise, it got a 6 out of 10 on IMDb, and it's generally regarded as one of Disney's strongest direct to video sequels, especially among the holiday releases. And then Forte is often cited as a standout villain, though continuously placement is placement is debated. Something is debated.
Continuity.
Continuity.
Oh my gosh.
I'm having so many issues.
I'm sorry.
I can't face time after. Apparently, her children wanted to talk to me and see me. Logan. Logan and Rowan. They're adorable. I love them. So, anywho, that is what I got for this, for the information. Thoughts? I don't know. My brain's done. It's a good thing I'm not doing the next episode.
Oh boy. No, I like this one.
Yeah.
It's a good like Christmassy movie, you know, to watch around the holidays.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good Christmassy. It's a good, like, I don't know. It's for a sequel in a Disney world. It's solid. Yeah. And I love a good villain who's bigger than the actual villain, and he's manipulating things behind the scenes. I mean, Beast isn't a villain, but like, you know, it's still like, you know, it's like a you know, Darth Vader Emperor kind of scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, Yeah. If you think back to Beauty and the Beast, he comes, I mean, we all know Gaston is the villain.
Yeah.
Quote unquote villain.
Right.
He's pretty much, he's an everyday male. No offense, Dan, you're not in that category.
None taken. You're not wrong.
Specific sect of men. But the Beast, he comes across, he's going to be the villain at the beginning of the movie. If you've never seen the movie, if you don't know what's happening, the Beast does come across it. And that's where, again, we talked about a specific group of people. Also, another group of people is where we get our morally gray love of morally gray male characters, because he is a morally gray character. He's the Beast.
Oh, the Beast, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Beast, because he's angry and he's brooding and he's rawr. And then she softens him up and like helps him find his happy side. And that's what I was talking about when I was talking about like the specific people. I don't know what you were talking about. I feel like it was something different.
Definitely different.
Well, what were you talking about?
Definitely different. So start with an F.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's not the group I'm in. I'm in the morally gray.
That's where Dan and I were going. I'm fairly certain.
Wait, what? I don't even know. What was I talking about? What were we talking about?
I don't know. What were you talking
about? There's
too
much ambiguity going on.
Wait, you were talking about something different than we were talking about.
So, actually, you said something about like a category of men being like Gaston because men are terrible. And I was like, I was agreeing with you. That's what I was talking about.
We're rewinding.
At the very beginning.
At the very beginning, when we were talking about the Beast.
Yeah.
Helped and create people liking the Beast.
Right.
Yeah.
And they became a certain sect of people. You guys were thinking of a sect starting with.
Yes, you're right. That's what that's what we were talking about like 10 minutes ago. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I was talking about that.
I was thinking of like us female readers who love morally gray men who start off like brooding and evil. And
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now
those are the books I read.
Now we're on the same path.
I don't read the other stuff.
I don't either, but you know, it tops. It comes into my feed sometimes.
Do they have books? I don't know.
Probably.
Do they write things about it? I don't know that much about.
Oh dear, honey, there is a whole underseedy world of very erotic, weird books.
Really? How do you know that, Ashley?
I didn't know that either.
Because I sadly used to be on Book Talk, and Book Talk opened my eyes to things I did not like, hence why I got off of Book Talk.
So she says,
I don't have it anymore.
Now we know what Ashley's really reading in her spare time.
Would you like to see my bookshelves? Would you like to see my bookshelves?
Well, she's not going to show us the good ones, clearly.
No, she's like, there's your shelves, and then there's your special shelf that you hide under your bed.
Exactly, in a box.
In a box.
Probably the... Oh, please, don't try to tarnish my halo.
Listen, if you did, I would not judge you. I'm just going to let you know that. I would not judge you.
What you want to read. Yeah,
I know, but I don't... I can't. I can't read that stuff.
That's fine. I'm just saying, if you did, I wouldn't judge you.
I know. The only thing that I've read that's remotely even different is there's a TikToker I followed before I left TikTok, and she's on Instagram, which makes me happy. She did this whole series called Hell's Bells, and it was her version of what happens in the afterlife. And her main character falls in love with a demon, and she actually wrote a book about how they met and all the things. So that is the only thing I have read that is remotely different.
What's it called? Oh, Hell's Bells?
The series is called Hell's Bells. The book is called For Whom the Bell Tolls, For Whom the Bells Toll, but Bells is spelled B-E-L-L-E-S, unlike the classic book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. I love it. I mean, it does not match with anything that I technically believe, but I think it is a beautiful creation that if that was how the afterlife is, I would not be mad about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you guys like that sort of stuff, For Whom the Bell Tolls by J.C. Lynn.
There we go.
For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Anyways, back to Beauty and the Beast. Dear Lord. Yes, Forte was beyond scary. His poor piccolo friend, whatever, what was he called?
Fife.
Fife. He finally realized he was doing wrong in the end. Oh, I got so sad when he threw Belle back into the dungeon. I'm like, wait a second. You're not. No, this is moving backwards.
Right.
No. Idiot. Yeah.
I was so sad. And poor little Chip never knew what Christmas was.
What's Christmas? Oh, so sad.
Yeah.
So sad. Yeah. I thought it was weird in the continuity when they showed the Beast as Adam, because that's his name technically, is Prince Adam. The Beast is Adam, like before he turned, like having been wearing the same outfit he turns back into at the end of Beauty and the Beast, and not in the formal wear that we see in like all the stained glass. I'm like, continuity people, like just a little bit off there.
Yeah.
It was a little weird. And I didn't like seeing him that way. I didn't like seeing how he acted. I think he was like probably 15 at the time. It was just,
I mean, they told you who he really was. They told you in the movie who he was. He was spoiled, selfish, and unkind.
Yeah, he was.
You're not supposed to like him.
But I guess when I imagine him being spoiled and selfish and unkind, he wasn't whiny about it.
Is there like, in my
mind,
way to be?
He was just mean. No, in my mind, he was more like cruel than like a whiny little 15-year-old boy who was spoiled brat.
Spoiled, selfish, and unkind, while being cruel is more attractive for the part of you that wants to fix him.
No, yes. But
you can't fix whiny.
I think because in the original movie, he's not 15. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, we're talking about who he is now. He was just like, in my mind, in Beauty and the Beast, he was 21 when this happened. He got turned in and he's now forever 21 as this Beast in my head. That's what's happening. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, he was just cruel and he was like an adult. This made me see like, oh, wait, he wasn't an adult. He was a kid. Like it just, it changed the perspective from what I had from seeing him in the movie. I wasn't trying to say you were right. You're right, Dan, about the cruel thing, but that's not what I was trying to get at.
I don't know much, but I know people and the things they like.
Would you stop calling me out today?
Oh, you can call me out on things. It's fine.
Yeah, but I have nothing to call you out on right now.
Not right now, because you don't know it anyway. Hey, listen, I keep most of my things to myself because it's a family-oriented,
podcast.
Dan has really censor himself.
I do.
Yeah, probably.
But, okay, so back to the continuity thing. So, technically, he was turned into... 10 years had passed since he was turned into the Beast versus the events of Beauty and the Beast. Right.
I believe so.
Because it said that. Right. So, okay. I'm just kidding. Because you said like you're thinking it's 21 when he turned into it. So like,
no,
I'm trying to get my math right.
No. So I think my brain just always tricked me into thinking he was like in his 20s.
He was like an adult. Yeah. Okay.
But it makes sense for him to be 15 when he got turned. The continuity thing I didn't like was the fact that he wasn't like actually dressed up as a prince.
Okay.
Like,
I would shock that. Right. I would shock that up to just the fact that we were told the story in a form of like propaganda. Cause like if stories are told in stained glass, they're going to be like perfect. Like they're going to be, so that's kind of how I saw it. It's like, this is how we tell the story happened. This is what it actually looked like, you know?
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
It's like, it's the mythology of how it happened.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Bell. I wonder if the internet can tell me. It was 10 years. Okay, no, see, here's the thing. Well, the curse promised to last until his 21st birthday, so he actually was like 10 or 11. Wait, how old was Belle?
I don't know. Aren't they all teenagers usually?
I think she's 19, but...
She's probably like 17.
She was 17.
Okay.
Oh, there
you go. So he would have been 11 when he first turned, so he's going on 21 in the first movie.
He's about to be 21.
And she's like 17.
Because he only lasts till 21.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense now.
So they got it wrong in the second, because he's not 11 in the second one. His voice changed.
He looks too old.
Yeah. So that's where they messed up.
Yeah. So
yeah,
they
should have aged him.
They should have made him a little boy.
Yeah, they should have made him little.
Which would have made more sense the way he was acting.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, very much so. Okay. What else happened in this movie that we should talk about? I don't know if they're... I don't know. I thought the themes that chat brought up with the emotional isolation versus healing and fear of change was very on point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's ChatGPT. They know everything.
No, they don't. They don't always know everything. They have screwed up a lot of stuff for me at work where I'm like, screw this, I'm doing it by hand. My boss wants me to use it to try to make life better. And honestly, sometimes it makes my life harder.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like he wants me to use it to write emails. I'm like, listen, I don't like to brag, but I have degrees in writing and English. I don't need something to write a professional email for.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Stupid. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, but I feel like this movie works well with even like adults,
mm-hmm.
if we mm-hmm. actually stop to think about it. Because this, unlike Cinderella was very much like little kid themes. Mm-hmm. These yes. themes of like emotional isolation versus healing, especially nowadays, and fear of change, especially with our generation. And just growth, like having someone's influence as growth as a catalyst, mm-hmm. are very adult themes,
mm-hmm.
Especially in our day and age. So
yeah,
it's probably why I liked
it
better.
If you're an adult, I would, and you like Beauty and the Beast, I would suggest watching this if you have not.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. Or if you're just a Tim Curry fan.
Well, there's that too.
There's
he
that
is
too.
Excellent in this.
He's so good.
I highly enjoyed him.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Why, like, the man can creep me out with his voice, his smile, mm-hmm. it just, he is a great villain.
He's brilliant.
Yeah,
he's
very brilliant. Diverse.
Mm-hmm. So good.
I don't know how I would react if I ever met him, because I feel like he's probably a very nice person in real life.
I'm sure he is.
Oh, yeah.
But I'd look at him and be like, you are the villain in everything I've watched. I don't know if I want to come near you.
Yeah.
Oh.
He wasn't the villain in Clue.
I was just thinking, I'm like, in Clue, he wasn't actually the villain.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever really watched Clue.
Oh, you should. Great. Oh, it's such a good movie. It's so much fun.
I love it.
I don't think I've ever watched
it. It's one of the few times where they took a board game and actually gave it a decent story.
Yes. It's okay. So much fun.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I come up with like now this and, you know, Silver in Muppets Treasure Island.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of the first movies I saw him in was a movie called McHale's Navy, where he played the bad guy. He played a Russian or East German like spy or whatever.
I've seen that like a long time ago.
Interesting.
Yeah, he was also one of the bad guys in Congo or like the I don't know if he was the main bad guy or but he was really funny in that one.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
And then he was Pennywise.
Pennywise.
Was Pennywise?
Yeah, the original Pennywise.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
From the 90s.
He freaks me out.
Yep. Kiss me, fat boy.
Oh, yeah. No. He's the voice of Chancellor Palpatine in the Clone Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He does.
Was he the voice of Nigel Thornberry as well? I can't remember if he did that or not.
Nigel Thornberry? I'm going down the list. Hold on. How long ago was that?
That would have been 98.
End of the
90s.
Hold on, I'm getting there. I'm in the 2000s still.
I feel like he wasn't he?
The Goblin King and Scooby-Doo and the Goblin King. He was Lucifer in some movie called The Chosen One.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Still in the 2000s. He's done a lot of voice work.
Yeah.
Yes, he was Nigel Thornberry in The Wild Thornberries.
Yeah. It sounded right. So we'll see Nigel's.
Marianne.
Yes.
I haven't seen that show in so long.
It was such a good show. It was. Yeah.
I don't know if I ever really watched that show.
I did.
Oh, it's a good show.
Definitely one of my favorites.
I was not a Nickelodeon kid.
No, you were a Disney kid. You were one of them.
Yep.
I watched all the Nickelodeon shows.
No, I was definitely a Nickelodeon kid. I watched
like one or two here and there.
Yeah. For Disney, I watched the Disney. It was live action. I watched the live action stuff for Disney, and then I watched the cartoons for Nickelodeon.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah. He's done so much.
Yeah, he's done so much. Oh my gosh, he was Ben Ravencroft in Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost, which was a straight-to-video movie we had. Ooh, Scooby-Doo and Zombies Island, one of the best, in my opinion, of Disney of Scooby-Doo straight-to-movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. King Chicken and Duckman. I don't know what that is. He was Lord Dragonus in Mighty Ducks the Animated Series, which was the villain.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Lots of villains.
I believe he was also Dr. Anton, who I believe was a villain in Gargoyles.
Okay.
See, lots of villains.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's so good at it.
You know what you're good at. Yeah.
Yeah. Stick with it, man.
Yeah.
But so this is why. He was Drake in The Pebble and the Penguin. Do you guys remember that movie?
No.
No? Oh, oh my gosh.
I've never heard of that.
No.
I don't know why I know this movie, but I know it. It's about a penguin who's trying to get this specific pebble to give to the love of his life. And there's a other penguin named Drake who wants to steal her and make her his wife. You know, the old tale.
It's a classic.
And he is the bad
classic
guy.
Classic tale, yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I love that even when he's not playing bad guys, he's still just ambiguous enough to be like, you know, like you love him, but you still don't trust him 100%.
Yeah, you're just like,
yeah.
He's like, I don't know about this guy.
I don't know.
Oh my gosh, he's 79 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's getting up there. He's been working for a long time.
Yeah, long, when he was in Rocky Horror Picture Show, I know that's a big one for him. Yeah.
That was like his big, like,
that's like his...
everybody knows who Tim Curry is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big break.
He's won 4 awards and has 17 nominations. He has no children.
Huh.
Did he ever get married?
I thought he was, but I don't know.
Tim Curry ever married?
Maybe not.
No.
Wow.
Never married.
Ooh, wow.
Hmm.
Huh.
Hmm.
But he achieved greatness.
Sure did.
I didn't know this.
Did you know forever and everything.
He had a stroke in 2012.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. He's been in a wheelchair ever since.
Yep.
Yep. But he's still kicking.
Yep.
Huh.
Still got his dry humor, all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Okay. Mm. Well, the second Beauty and the Beast. I haven't even talked about that. There is a second one. We're not gonna like hone on it too long, Pixie Dusters. But there is a second one. It's an anthology type one, like the second Cinderella.
Mm.
There's 3 short stories all set up in the castle before the curse is broken. It was originally, again, created for television, but they edited to make it a feature. The 3 of them is The Perfect Word, where Beast or Belle teaches the Beast emotional regulation and
patience. Sorry.
It's actually kind of them teaching each other how to forgive each other.
Okay.
So, you know, Fifi's Folly, there's a misunderstanding. Tess, Lumiere, and Fifi, the duster. Their relationship, because Fifi is so excited because they're about to come up on their anniversary of their first date, and Lumiere totally forgets and he has to scramble, and there's just like a whole thing.
I can see that.
And then the 3rd one is Mrs. Potts' Party. Belle helps Chip learn responsibility after making a mistake, which he's a little kid. He needs to learn things. So it's not an overarching plot or villain. It's just small moral lessons for kids. Again, most of the cast is the original cast, except for this is the one where Angela Lansbury does not voice Mrs. Potts in the film.
Okay.
And I don't remember why, but it's I don't know if it's was other work or what was happening. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. We were to talk about that. There, just like in Cinderella, there's notable variations in animation quality is pretty much what's happening here. 5.2 out of 10, one of Disney's weakest sequels. It's alongside Cinderella 2. Like, it's just, it's an anthology. It's great for moral lessons for your kids.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
It does give us a couple new characters. You get a quill and paper. Can't remember their names. And then you also get a dictionary named Webster.
Okay.
That comes in. Okay. So there's some new characters.
The quill and the paper are two different people or are they the same person?
They're two different people.
So, yeah. Quill and the paper.
I'm sorry, that's funny. We get quill, we get paper? Just the way you said that was funny to me.
Yeah, we get a quill and a paper. They're both two different characters. Okay. And then we also have Webster, who is a dictionary, who Belle is like, oh, a dictionary, tell me all the words.
Right.
And Beast is like, I don't understand these words. And it's just, it's a lot.
I don't like big words, and that makes me angry because that's the only emotion I can feel.
Pretty much.
That's the Beast.
Pretty much.
Men.
Yeah, they just, literally, if you watch that first segment, it's like, it's almost like that first year of marriage or like that first time out of your like honeymoon bubble where he's eating food that's too loud. She's trying to read him a story or tell him a story and he's not listening or he's trying to do something that she's not. It's like, oh, here it is. Here's the real relationship. Here is the everyday problem that you have to work through and try to forgive each other and try to remember to tell yourself, each other you're sorry. So actually that first one would be good for anybody in a relationship to remind us that we need to compromise and to try to think of each other and ask for forgiveness and apologize and blah blah blah. So that was, as I was watching that, I'm like, yep, there we go, that's a real relationship, unlike the Disney-ified movies that we get. Yeah, so yeah, it was interesting. But both of these films, which is different than a lot of the directive film, is this is the one other. Well, Lion King has one, but is both of them happen within the actual film. They don't happen after. So we never really see what happens after with Belle and the Beast. There's a lot of fan theories of, well, they probably died in a couple years because that's when France was going to get taken over and the monarchy killed. But who knows what actually happens with them. And then Lion King has Lion King 1.5 that happens within,
which is basically the first movie, but it's told from the point of view of Timon and Pumbaa, right?
Yeah, I never really watched it, I'm gonna be honest. Yeah that's the Beauty and the Beast sequels.
Okay,
sweet.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
I don't have anything.
Nope. Okay. What are you doing?
I'm drawing out the dead air with noise.
All right, Pixie Duster, we're just going to go before, I don't know, Dan goes in. Bye, Pixie Dusters.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy. Logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.
Calling all you horror enthusiasts. If you are brave enough, we dare you to listen to our horror podcast, You Can't Kill the Boogeyman Podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by Limitless Broadcasting Network. This show is available wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Don't forget to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.